people about the laws that he was giving to them, because of the profoundness of these laws, they would not understand them yet, but one day they would be fulfilled. That's what we see this morning as we look at this one verse in chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Nothing but the blood. I grew up singing that song in church, as you probably did as well. And I think a lot of times as we sing through hymns, as we sing through songs that we know by heart, it's easy for us to just sing the words and not really think about what they say. Anybody agree with that? We just didn't have it, don't we? But I want you to realize and understand today the significance of what Jesus did on the cross when He, the precious Lamb we looked at last week, the Lamb that was brought at just the right time, the Lamb that had no blemish, no imperfection, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, came on that day and allowed His life to be hung on a cross and His blood to be shed for us. Significance is undeniable and is unbelievable in some aspects of how amazing this is. From the very beginning, God was telling His people that there is nothing but the blood of the precious Lamb of God that will take away your sin. So I want to look at that this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ is perfect. In 1 Peter, we read a passage there, beginning in verse 15 through verse 25. If you want to turn to that, I'd like for you to read that with me as well. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Beginning in verse 15. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it's written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of times for your sake. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him, you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. Now, you see an amazing picture here in just two different verses. Things that God said had to come to pass, and things that have now come to pass. And that thing in particular is the precious blood of the perfect Lamb did what He said it would do. He came in a righteous birth, by the way. The Scripture says He was born of a virgin. Now that was significant, because Scripture shows He has innocent blood. The sin of man is carried down, the Scripture says, through the third and fourth generations. Not the sin of the woman, the sin of the man. Because the man is the giver of the blood. He is the giver of the one who gives blood to the one who's coming. Scripture shows His innocent blood. Matthew chapter 27, verse 4. Even Judas said, I've sinned, for I betrayed what? Innocent blood. Judas even understood that he had messed up big time. And he realized that Jesus was the one who was the Savior of the world and the Lamb without blemish. 1 Peter chapter 2, just a little bit farther from where we read, he He says he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Jesus was born of a virgin, a righteous birth for a righteous person who could come in God Himself, indwell His physical body, could come and become the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Not only was it a righteous birth, it was a supernatural blood. The Father would have imparted sin nature of Adam, the Scripture tells us, that's where it's carried down. But there was no natural father. Because there was no earthly father, there was no sin already in Christ's life. Now, He was tempted to sin, just like everyone is tempted to sin, yet the Scripture says He had no fault in Him. Such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. You see, His blood is perfect. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, back in the Old Testament, says this: "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the sins of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation." That's what God does through people. But through Jesus, He did an amazing thing. He made Him who knew no sin become sin for us. His supernatural blood was sinless. Not only was His blood perfect by His righteous birth, but His blood was pure. In fact, the righteousness of His blood is talked about in Scripture, particularly in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, where it says this: "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself," what? "Unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God." Now that word "unblemished" is really an important word for us. It is akeledotos, which means absolute, faultless, flawless, ideal, immaculate, impeccable, indefectible, irreproachable, letter perfect, perfect, picture book, picture perfect, and seamless. That's what this word literally means. It means the blood of Christ could not be blemished in any form or fashion. It is absolutely pure for us. And you might say, why are you talking so much about blood? Because of what I read in Leviticus, that the blood is the one that atones for our sins. He imparts His righteous blood as a covering for us all. The Scripture says that when Jesus died on the cross, His blood was shed for the righteousness of all people. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says it like this: "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and what? The blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin." It covers us. It cleanses us. It is our atonement. Not only is it our righteousness, but it is the absolute covering, so to speak. The Scripture calls it says it like this. The Greek word for atonement is exeleosi, which means to reconcile something by covering it over as though it had never existed. Now think about that, folks. When you stand before God, if you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to stand before Him as though you had never sinned. Because the Bible says, when you come to know Christ, you are justified by His death on the cross and by His resurrection. You're justified. That word justified, I always like to say it like this: justified, never sinned. That's how God's going to look at you. That's how God already looks at you if you know Jesus. Justified, never sinned. I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. The root word is exile. Exiliosi. The root word exile. What does that mean? It means being barred or expelled from something. Guess what word barred or expelled from? The penalty of sin. Aren't you glad that you're in exile? I am. Even though I do still sin in my life, and I don't want to. But when I do, I know that I am covered by the blood of Jesus. I've already been exiled from the punishment of sin, and I am covered from that penalty of the sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For God made Him," Jesus, "who had no sin, to be sin for us." so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. How does that happen? Through the covering blood. The blood that covers us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not only is His blood perfect, and not only is His blood pure, His blood is perpetual. I want you to understand this, folks, and this is so significant. You recall that there were covenants made by God with men. As God made this covenant with Abraham, He told Abraham to go and get these animals, and He listed them off. And as He listed these animals off, Abraham already knew what he was up to, because this is the way people would make covenants back then. They didn't have paper and pen and all that kind of stuff to sit down and make out some kind of legal jargonese thing that you can't even read and understand that you have to sign anyway. It was very simple. What they would do is they would take these animals to a ditch or a low place, and they would cut the animal in half and lay half on one side and half on the other and allow the blood to flow down into the ditch. And then one party would stand on the other side, and the other party would stand on this side, and then they would separately walk through the blood, allowing that blood to come up on their feet and the bottom of their robes. It was called walking the blood path. And what they were saying is, if I don't keep my part of the covenant with you, this is what I deserve. In other words, I deserve to die. I deserve to lose my life. Now, the reason the Scripture says Abraham was so afraid of that when God told him to do this is because he knew he couldn't keep his part. Every single one of us knows that we're going to fail. Every single one of us knows that we cannot be perfect yet. And we know that we've messed up and done things that are wrong and hurt people. We know we can't keep this covenant of the blood pact with God. So God says, this is what I'm going to do. Until the day I bring the ultimate sacrifice, once a year, in the Holy of Holies, a precious lamb's blood will be sprinkled upon the altar. What God basically was saying to Abraham is, Abraham, I will take the penalty for you. Well, God doesn't deserve the penalty, and yet He chose to do it. It was all leading up to this point. The point where Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and the people are cheering, and they're shouting, Hosanna! But what they're doing is they're thinking, hey, God has now given us a king over Israel again. And we're all going to be okay. And we're not going to be under Roman domination anymore. But that's not why He came. He didn't come to be king because He already was king. He didn't come to set up His earthly kingdom yet, but He will. He came to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and to shed His blood for atonement of our sins. That's why He came. People didn't see that. Because the very same people that were shouting Hosanna that day, a couple days later were saying, crucify Him. In other words, He didn't meet my expectations. Get rid of Him. Get rid of Him. And Pilate's saying, are you the same people that a couple days ago were shouting Hosanna, here's the king and all this kind of stuff? Why would you do that? I find no fault in Him. You remember what that means. He's the perfect lamb. I find no fault in Him. I tell you what, I'll give you a choice. You can either have Jesus or Barabbas, the worst killer we have in our jail. And guess what they said? Give us Barabbas. Be careful what you ask for. Because that's what they got. The animal sacrifices had to be done future sacrifice. And Hebrews is so clear as it lays it out for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27 says it like this. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with the sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But when this high priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now look at this last one. It's actually on two different screens here. We'll see it when I get to the end of this one. You just keep going, okay? I think this is it. Yes. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. In other words, he's saying these sacrifices that have been done every week and then every year, the main sacrifice on the special day of Yom Kippur, these are sacrifices that were important to do. But now there's been one main sacrifice that covers them all. And it is the overcoming blood of Jesus. It's that perfect blood that we looked at that covers the sins of the world. Now, why is this so important? Okay, here it is again. God has made a covenant with us that if we can't keep our end of the bargain, and none of us have, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has now shed His blood, and He's walked the blood path for us. Do you see that? So, in just a moment, when we take of the Lord's Supper, you think, well, what is the significance of the Lord's Supper? So Jesus had told them what it was, but I don't think they had quite gotten it yet. When he takes the bread, and in just a moment, when you take these little pieces of bread, he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." Those were the exact words that they would use with the animals. They were broken. "This is my body that is now broken for you." And when they would take the cup, he says, "Now this is the new covenant in my blood." Here's the new covenant part. The new covenant part is now you don't have to go to the sacrifice every day or every year at the end of the year and make a sacrifice. I am the ultimate sacrifice. So if you take of this cup of salvation, which was the specific cup during the Passover meal that they were having, the cup of salvation. When you take this cup, what I'm saying to you is, I have now covered you with my blood. I have walked the blood path for you. I have shed my perfect blood for you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says it like this. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now folks, I want you to understand this. For just a moment, would you think about some people in your life? I know it's kind of hard sometimes to do this, but think about some people in your life that you don't really... Now, I know we're supposed to love everyone, but there might be some people in your life that you don't like so much. Guess what? Jesus died for them too. Why? Because He loves the whole world. God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God loves this world. He loves every person in this world. Every baby that's been born in this world, He loves. Every person that's died of cancer, He loves. He loves everyone. Even that neighbor of yours that mocks you and doesn't like you and tells you to move your trash can over 3 feet or whatever it is. He loves them. He loves them. And He wants us to love them with His love. That's the only way we can love some people, is to to love Him with His love? Would you be free from the burden of sin? What? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Right? Every mosquito that bites you ought to fly away singing that song. There's power in the blood. They ought to know that God has done something in your life. Revelation chapter 11. It's actually chapter 12, verse 11. They triumph over Him, talking about the beast. They triumph over Him, what? By the blood of the Lamb. They didn't triumph with the greatest armies. They didn't triumph by shouting louder than someone else. They didn't triumph because they had the best weapons. They triumphed over the evil one by the blood of the Lamb. You see, folks, when you were covered by the blood of Jesus, you have everything. You have all of His power, you have all of His Spirit, and you have all of His presence. And that's why this morning, when we take of the Lord's Supper together, we are taking something that is an outward appearance picture, just like God does for us, because we need to see things to understand them. And when Jesus was sitting with His disciples that day, He said this: "This is My body that's broken. Eat of it." You see, if you eat of it, what it means is I take you. I take you. There's also one more beautiful picture in this. That cup of wine that He gave to them to drink of was also very significant, because back in chapter 14 of John, He said, "Don't be disturbed. Don't be worried. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come to take you to be where I am." And Thomas says, "I don't know exactly where you're going. How can we know the way?" He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one's going to come to the Father except through Me. Except through this blood path that I've walked for you. Except through the blood of Jesus. No one's going to come to the Father except through Me." But not only was that a perfect picture of salvation, it was also a picture of a wedding. A picture of a wedding was this. The young man that had a girl in mind that he believed that he wanted to marry would have to go to the father of the young man. And he'd have to ask for this young woman. And if the father, after he would quiz him and he would go through everything with him, after the father quizzed him, then he would say, "Okay, I will give my daughter to be wed to you in marriage." But the way he did it was he would pour out a cup for the young man, and he would pour out a cup for the young woman. And the young man would then take this cup in to the young woman, and he would give it to her and say, "Will you marry me?" And if she took it and drank it, it was her saying yes. Jesus on that day was basically saying to all His disciples, "Will you marry me? Will you be my bride?" There's going to be a wedding feast, folks, when all those who have taken Jesus as their Lord and Savior are invited. And we'll be there together with our Savior and our Lord. We will celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, the one who is willing to walk the blood path for us, because there's nothing but the blood of Jesus that will save us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? And I just want to ask you a simple question. We typically have an invitation at the end where we ask people to come forward, but we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper in just a moment. But I just want to ask you right where you are, right where you're seated this morning. I want to ask you this question. Do you know for sure you've been covered by the blood? Do you know for sure that you are saved? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, the Scripture tells us that if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. In other words, you trust in Him as your Lord. You give your life to Him and what He's done for you. And that means, Lord means He's your boss now. And so you choose to not live your own way, but you choose to live the way He asks you to live. Have you come to that point in your life? Have you confessed the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you trusted Him to forgive you, which He has already paid the price for you and covered your sins with His blood? Have you received that? If you have, you're welcome to take of the Lord's Supper today. Because it's only for those who know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. It would be a mockery to take of this and say, yes, I'm taking of the body of Jesus and I'm taking of the blood of Jesus, the symbol of that, but I don't believe in Jesus. He's not my Lord and Savior. In fact, the Scripture says you bring condemnation upon yourself by doing that. So I want to encourage you this morning, just as Paul did in Corinthians, to say, examine yourself. If you don't know Jesus, it's not too late. You can give your heart to Him right now. You can call out to Him and say, dear Lord, I know that when You died on the cross and You shed Your blood, I was on Your mind. And You did this for me. And I don't understand it all. And I don't know why You would do it except that You love me so much. And I've never really experienced that great of love before. But I want to give You my life. And I want to trust You today. And ask that You save me forever. I don't want to be separated from You ever, Lord. I want to be in Your presence. If you would pray a simple prayer like that, I know right where you are right now, God will save you. But I also want to encourage you to not be shy or timid about it. Because if you're not willing to tell somebody else about it, Jesus said, if you won't confess me before men, why should I confess you before my Father who's in heaven? If you deny me before men, why? I'm going to deny you before the Father. Don't be ashamed. In fact, even today when we're done, you might just want to come up to one of these deacons who are going to help me in just a moment with the Lord's Supper, or come up to me and say, I gave my life to Jesus today. We'll be so excited about it. We welcome you.